Of course, tomorrow is Labor Day, a day that we honor workers, and there'll be different parades and different speeches. I've often thought it was odd we celebrate Labor Day by not laboring. Strange, isn't it? Labor Day, we should be late. Well, anyhow. It's Labor Day is an everyday person kind of holiday, because the vast majority, if not everybody, has or is working. Okay, so it's something we're all familiar with. So it's a holiday that we can all relate to. If we could go around the room this morning and we could talk to different people, I think we'd be amazed at the variety of experience that sits in this room as far as the kind of jobs that have been different, different people have done. And so each of us has a history when it comes to laboring. And work is a subject that the Bible talks very much about. You've heard me say many, many times that the Bible is a very practical book. Now, it tells us how to get ready for eternity. It tells us how to get ready for heaven, and I'll do that before I get done this morning. But the Bible also tells us how to live in this world. And because most of our lives are devoted one way or another to our work, it has a lot to say about work. And so I want to make six or seven statements this morning about work, and then I want to make one statement take the title of my sermon from Not of Works. Not of Works. But I want to make six statements about work. I want to say, first of all, that God made man to work. He made us to work. If you go back and you read the first chapter of Genesis, you'll see there it records God creating the world. And by the way, just so you know where I stand, I believe that the account in Genesis chapter 1 is a literal six-day account of God creating the heaven and the earth. I believe it happened just like it happened in that chapter. A lot of people say, you know, as they debate about creation and evolution, they say, well, it takes faith to believe creation. I want to tell you something this morning. It takes faith if you're going to believe evolution, because there is no scientific basis for evolution. They're still looking for the missing link. And even the father of evolution, Mr. Darwin, before he died, said, I don't believe it anymore. So I believe in the literal interpretation of Genesis chapter 1, that the earth was created in 6 days. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible tells us about God making man, and it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then in verse 15 of that chapter, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. A lot of people, when they picture Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they think all they were doing was sitting around eating figs and grapes and all the other good things that God put in the Garden of Eden. I hate to bust your bubble this morning. It wasn't a forever vacation. They had to work. They kept the garden. They looked after the garden. So when God made them and when he made all of us, he put in each one of us a need and a desire to work. And I want to tell you something, that desire never goes away. That's why vacations end. That's why retirees work harder than you that are working. Because we have a desire. Amen? Amen. I'm in that group. I is one. Because we have a desire given by God, given to every person to work. Number two, God's plan was for us to work 6 days. 6 days. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 21, he says, 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest time shall rest. And God set the example. When he was working, creating the earth, it says that on the seventh day he rested. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Now listen, I believe with all my heart that the Bible tells us that we ought not to work 7 days a week. God knows our bodies. He knows what we're capable of. And I know there's some times where you have to work 7 days a week. I know there's men and women sitting in this room that were called upon to work that much. But I believe that if we're going to follow the principles of this book, that we ought to take at least 1 day off to rest and to recuperate. Now, that is, it doesn't matter if you have a job in the shop or if your job is domestic engineer at home. I believe men and women ought to take a day off, recuperate, and rest. I believe that God teaches us that in the Bible. Number three, I believe that the Bible teaches us that when we work, that we need to have our mind engaged and focused on our work. When we work, we need to have our mind on what we're doing. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, and if you haven't figured out the Bible quiz, I'm going to give you a hint as I cover this point. The Bible says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, because the people had a mind to work." They were talking about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, something that hadn't been done for almost 92 years. And Nehemiah came back, and he led the people, and in 52 days, they got the job done. Something that hadn't been done for 92 years, in 52 days, they got it done because they had a people that had a mind to work. And that what that verse is teaching us as workers in this world, that when we work, we ought to put our mind on what we're doing. Our mind ought to be engaged, not just our hands, not just our feet, not just our bodies, but our mind ought to be fully engaged in what we're doing. And so I encourage you, whether your work is as a student, whether your work is at a machine, or on a line, in an office, at home, it doesn't matter. Don't be working and thinking about something else. Put your mind, engage your mind in what you're doing. Don't be distracted by thinking about something else. Number four, when we work, God is with us. Do you ever stop and think about that? When we work, God is with us. In Haggai, book that we don't quote from too much, but chapter 2, verse 4, "And be strong, and ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." If I were to ask you a question right now, as you sit in the pew on this Sunday morning, September the 2nd, 2012, how many of you right now think that God is with you? Hold up your hand. Hey, we're in God's house. We're worshiping Him. Of course He is with us. Now, let me fast forward to Tuesday morning. We've made it through. Put your hand down. I haven't asked the question yet. I want to fast forward to Tuesday morning. We've made it through the holiday. We have gotten out of bed on Tuesday morning, and we've gone back to work. So we're at our machine. We're on the line. We're sitting in the office. We're cleaning up the house. Whatever the work we're going to do on Tuesday morning, how many of you know that God is with you? Every one of our hands ought to go up because He is with us. As we work, He is with us. Now, we think about that when we're in church. I mean, we think about that when we're in this place. I mean, we know that He's with us here because, again, we're in His house. This is His day that we set aside to honor and worship Him. And that's what we're doing. We're honoring and worshiping Him. And so if I came up to you and say, "Harry, you know God's with you this morning?" So, sure, of course I do. But on Tuesday morning, when you go back to work, when you punch the clock or however you sign in, I want you to know that God is just as much with you on Tuesday morning as He is now. The boss may not be there all the time. The foreman may not be there all the time. If you're a retiree, your wife might not be there all the time to tell you what to do next. But I want to, are you listening? But I want to tell you something. God is there all the time as we work. All right, number five. When we work, we need to do it heartily with all our might. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." So, God made us to work. He wants us to work 6 days, not seven, six. When we work, our mind needs to be engaged. And when we work, He is there with us. And this verse is telling us that when we work, we ought to give it all we got. We ought to give it our best. Because we're not doing it for man. We're doing it unto the Lord. Now, a man may sign our check. A man may own the company that we work for. But we are not working for men. We are working for the Lord. And He's there and He sees us. He sees how hard we're trying. He knows if our mind is engaged. He knows if it's wandering or thinking about something else. And so, again, when we work, we ought to give it our best because we're not working for a man. We're working for the Lord. And then number six, work is God's way of meeting our needs. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Neither that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Now listen, I know that God can still work miracles. I know that He, if He wanted to, could still send manna from heaven. I know that if He wanted to, He could multiply the bread and fish just like He did on that hillside that day and fed 5,000 men and probably 15,000 altogether when you add in the women and the children. I know that He could still work miracles today, and I know that He does. I know that sometimes that He provides our needs in a miraculous way that cannot be explained from a human standpoint. You only have to look to heaven and say, "I know that this came from God." But I want to tell you, on a regular day-to-day basis, His plan is that we work and then eat. His plan is that we use the fruit of our labor to meet our needs. By the way, who gives us our strength? Who lets us live in this country that we can work? Who gives us the jobs that we have, or will give us the jobs that we're going to have? That all comes from God. And His plan is that we work and then eat. So, those are the six things I want to say about work. My point number seven is a big but. My point number seven is a big however. The greatest need that we have, the greatest need that every single person has, cannot be met, cannot be satisfied by work. Even though we were made by God to work, even though He tells us about it in his book and tells us how we ought to engage our mind and how long we ought to work and that we're not working for men, we're working for Him. The greatest need that every person has in their life cannot be met by work. You see, the greatest need that every single person has in their life is to be right with God. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm right with God." Well, I hope you are this morning, but there's only one way to be right. Because you see, sin separates us all from God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look, if you compare yourself to me or you compare yourself to somebody else, you might be able to say, hey, I'm not a bad guy. I'm better than that person and I'm better than that person. But the Bible says, oh no, don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to the glory of God. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. And as we do that, every single one of us have to say, I come up short. I come up way short. So sin separates us from God. It sets us apart from God. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, when he ate the fruit, he got kicked out of the garden. He was separated from God. And so our sin drives a wedge between us and God. There's a wall. There's a gap. There's something between us. Now, because we were made to work, because we have that inner desire that was given to us by God, because we spend so much of our life involved in working, our natural response to this sin problem is work. It's work. I mean, we were made that way. That's how we spend a big part of our life, by working. And so when we realize that there's a gap between us and God, there's a wall between us and God, our natural reaction is, I must have to do something. There's something that I got to do. There's something that I have to accomplish. There's something, some task that I must have to finish before I can take care of this sin that separates me from God. There must be, I mean, God's good. He made me to work. And so in order to get back to Him and overcome this sin, He must want me to work to fill that gap. But the verses we read for our text verse a few minutes ago says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, if it's not works, then what is it? I mean, I'm a worker, you're a worker. We were all made to be workers. We spend most of our life in doing that. If I can't overcome that gap, if I can't overcome that wall, if I can't get right with God by working, what do I need to do? Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the answer. It's not work. It's simply coming to Him. It's simply coming to Him and accepting what He did for us on Calvary's cross. As He hung on the cross, God put on Him every one of my sins and every one of your sins. And as He hung on the cross, He finished the task. When He cried out at the end, before He went to heaven, He said, it is finished. Everything that needs to be done for my salvation was accomplished on Calvary. We carry heavy loads of sin. You say, preacher, well, I'm not much of a sinner. I grew up in church. I've attended church all my life. So did I. I still carry a load of sin, a heavy load of sin. And so do you, because the Bible says if we've broken the law in one point, we're guilty of all. So if I've broken the law, if I've broken the Ten Commandments in just one point, I'm guilty of breaking every single one of them. Every single one of them. I go back to the Sunday school lesson. It was in the pupil's book about that guy that went to the ocean, and he saw the vastness of the ocean, and he realized how big God is and how small He is. When I consider what Christ did for me, how lovely He is, how unlovely I am. And so I carry, have a load of sin, and so have each of you, and there may be some here this morning that are still carrying it. I want to tell you this morning, you can't work to get rid of it. You cannot work to overcome that gap that exists between you and God because of your sin. Jesus said, you're carrying that heavy load of sin, and you're laboring, you're trying to do something when all I want you to do is come to me and rest. Rest. He said, I've done it all. I've finished it. The task, the job is done. The task is finished. All you have to do is come to me. Come to me. And he says, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. I'll be the bridge that spans that gap that exists between you and God. I'll be the payment for that sin. I'll be your righteousness. So if you're here this morning, I know by nature you're a worker. You're a worker because God made you that way. Made us all that way. But the greatest need that you have in your life cannot be met by work. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's simply coming to the one that died in your place and receiving that gift of salvation that he purchased for you on Calvary's cross. Would you do that this morning? If you've never come to Jesus Christ, it's not of works. And we're going to celebrate Labor Day, and I'm glad that God made us all workers, but we don't get to heaven by our works. We get to heaven by the gift of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning that most of us here, we've realized that we don't come and get right with you by our works. We get right with you by coming to Jesus Christ. But Father, there may be one, maybe two, maybe more than that, that are here this morning that have never asked Jesus to save them. They're still trying to work their way to heaven. Father, help them to see that works don't work. They're not going to get right with you by something they do. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Help them to understand this morning the only way to get right with you is to come to Jesus. And Father, please help them do that this morning. Father, for all the Christians that are here, help us to pay attention to what your book says about work. Help us to be known as good workers. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If there's something that we need to do, help us to do it. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.